I left. I said, man, I ain't fooling chasing that stupid dog all over the place. But anyway, take your Bibles if you turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And the book of Romans, I recommend everybody to read it at least 7 times. And I love the book of Romans. It helps you straighten out some things in people's lives. And when you study the book of Romans, it's just plain and clear. You can't get any clearer than the book of Romans. And it's just plain. And you know, it tells you about when people reject God and when people reject the Lord, what happens. And this guy texted me this morning, right off this morning. Starts out, he said, I seen you last night. And I said, yeah. I said, you coming to church today? No, I give up on God. I said, really? I said, that's stupid. I texted him, that's stupid. And he said, well, I've tried. God just doesn't answer my prayer. I said, well, you got to get in line with him. He doesn't get in line with you. You get in line with him. And I said, you ought to put the Lord first in your life. So I went through a whole bunch of stuff with the guy, and he started saying, well, I'm thinking about trying Wicca. I said, there's another stupid statement you already made. He said, what do you know about Wicca? I said, I know a guy named Saul. He went to a witch of Endor, and he ended up getting killed. And I said, then you think about Judas betrayed Jesus Christ, went out and hung himself, and he was of the devil. And I said, well, that's where the devil ends people's lives. And so I said, and I texted him back, and he said, I'm going to try Wicca, I said, that's funny. I said, and you're going to be a loser the rest of your life. I started getting really harsh with him. I said, you're going to be a loser the rest of your life. He said, what am I supposed to do? I said, trust God, stupid. And he says, well, I'm done. I said, well, it sounds like you're not if you text me.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
You're just trying to get some attention.
Yep.
And you know, I love the guy. I don't even know the guy really that well. He's been here a couple times. And I said, you know, I texted him back. I said, you know what your problem is? And I said, your problem is, and I put S. I N. Your problem is sin.
Yep. Amen.
And God won't let you get away with it.
Yep. Yep.
And then I thought back, the guy's got a problem. I've talked to the guy, he's got a problem with pornography. Mm-hmm. That's what his problem is.
Yep.
Here we talk about Romans chapter 1. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, look at verse 19. People always ask, what happens to the people that you know, never heard and all that stuff? And I've told you this before in church. I said, you know, people, you as grandparents, it's my job to pass the faith down to children. That's our job, is to pass our faith. If we don't do our job, then our kids turn out to be heathen. And when Noah got off the ark, Noah knew who God was. All three of the boys knew who God was. And that's where all the whole world come from. The whole world came from Noah and his three boys. And they all knew who God was and what God required. And you got Ham that went south, the African nations. You got Shem that went east, the Asian nation. And you got Japheth that went north. And God gives a prophecy about all three of those boys. Our Bible, right now, you got a Bible in your hand. We got that from Shem. And we're Japheth. If you're European, you're Japheth. We're reading a Bible that God gave to Shem, and that's what we're studying. We're studying a Bible that's from the East. All religions come from the East anyway, except for the ones that were made up in America.
Yep.
They came from, and they got Eastern flavor to it, but they all religions came, you know, Buddhism, people in the darkness, Buddhism, Confucius, you know, you got Islam, they're all, the Jews, it's all Eastern. And God gave man a chance to trust him. What God does, he gives you a free will. You make choices. And people have made some bad choices. I was telling my wife the other day, I said, you know, why is it people make bad? They keep making the same. I was talking to, that's who I was talking to. I was talking to Brian Payton. Brian Payton's a probation officer. He was in Chick-fil-A, and Brian was there. And we was talking about different people. I said, I guess this time of year is kind of rough on you. He goes, well, he said, no. He said, it's just, I see families. He said, preacher, I'm dealing with people now that I dealt with their grandfather. I'm dealing with their grandkids now on probation. And he said, it seemed like there's a cycle that keeps on. But when I got saved, I told Brian, I said, when I stood before a judge, the judge told me that my father was a bad influence on me. That's why I ended up in prison. And my father was in the county jail. And I said, what happened was when I got saved and I made up my mind, I broke the cycle.
Amen.
You can break the cycle.
Amen.
Once you get saved and start honoring God, it breaks the cycle.
Amen.
And what people are not willing to do, they're not willing to break the cycle. They say, well, if your father was a drunk, your grandfather was drunk, then it means you're going to be a drunk. Don't have to be that way. Don't have to be. You make choices. And it's real easy to blame. Well, you know, that's like people saying, oh, you say, are you saved? Well, my grandfather was a preacher. What's that got to do with it, you know? But anyway, look at here. It says, because when they that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. That's, you know, you look at nature. You look at all this stuff. It is not Mother Nature. God made all this. And if God made all this, this is how beautiful this is in this life and how it's going to be when he said, I go to prepare a place for you in my father's house and many mansions. You think about what is there. But it says, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So look what it says. So they are without excuse. No man will be able to stand before God and say, I didn't know. I don't care where they were, where they're from. I don't care what nationality they are. They won't be able to stand before God and say, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Now, and God will bring back up the grandparents, and he'll say, look here. This is what happened to your grandchildren, your descendants. This is what's happening to your descendants. And you can follow a person's descendants. You read your Bible, you follow the descendants, and you find whether they, you know, how they turn out, and it all depends on how people make that decision. And look over and look. We looked at Exodus chapter 20 last time. Look what the Bible says about that. Exodus chapter 20. So that's why you say that's why it's important for you to live now in front of your kids and your family and do what's right. And I didn't understand that, man. I hated authority. I hated everything. I got the guy sitting here this morning that came by and cared about my soul and took me to church where I got saved. He's sitting right here this morning going to be preaching for you. And he seen the way I was before I got saved. And he seen how the transformation, I told y'all last week, his daddy worked for NSA and his father helped me out a lot. His father helped me get fines paid, get my license back. He did all kinds of stuff for me, trying to help me. And when people try to do right, and his dad was watching me and end up seeing that I was trying to do right, and he helped me. And God did some miraculous things. But look in Exodus chapter 20, look what it says. It says, and God spake all of these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And that's not a suggestion. The Lord said, you ain't going to have no other gods before me. Why? There's consequences with it. There's always consequences. He says, thou shalt not make on thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above or that's in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. So he's saying, if you bow down to other gods, God says, I'm gonna judge it all the way to four generations. And then if those generations continue to bow down to other gods, then that continues. Descendants continues and continues and continues. So that's where you get Buddhism. That's where you get Islam. And all that stuff, they wouldn't receive the true God, so they bow down to idols. They worship men. They worship things. So God said, I'm going to visit unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And showing mercy, look what this says, showing mercy on the thousand of them that love me and keep my commandments. So the Lord said, I'll show mercy if a person wants it. And that's what I was telling this guy this morning. I said, God's had mercy on you. I said, you deserve to be in hell, your back broken, your eyes scratched out. And here you're complaining. I said, we all deserve to be in hell. I deserve to be in hell. But I know he had mercy on me. He's had mercy on you. In 2017, I don't know what 2017 holds for us. I don't know. Neither do you. Nobody knows but God. But I know God's been merciful to me. And I know it's worth serving him and honoring him and then going back to the old ways. The old ways didn't help me a bit, man. The old ways, it just caused the curse to fall harder on my family. Go back to Romans chapter 1. And there is a curse. I believe there's a generational curse that can happen to a family. And the only one can break it is you. You can break it. Because when God says one thing and you say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to live the way I want to. Then you made your choice. And now, not saying you can't change your course. You can change it. Look at here, verse 20 of chapter 1. He said, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, and so that they are without excuse. Nobody would be able to stand before God and say, I didn't know. Because that when they knew God, look at this, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. And being thankful is another thing. At Christmas time, you find sometimes you're being unthankful for all that we have. And we get unthankful, and the kids are unthankful. They didn't get what they wanted. They wanted this, they wanted that, they wanted all this stuff. And what happens is we've created a generation of kids that are so unthankful. I was telling my wife yesterday, or day before, I said, man, it seems like this generation is so mean, and they hate God. I was at a funeral on Friday. I went down, Gary Manarese preached a funeral of a 20-year-old boy that got killed named Ellers down in Sussex County. So Gary called me up and asked me, he said, will you pray for me? I said, yeah. He goes, it's a hard bunch. And I preached some hard bunches. And I said, Gary, I'll tell you what, I'll be there. He goes, you'll come down? I said, yeah, I'll be there. So I got there like 10 minutes late. I was there. I got in the back. And I, just no lie, I didn't wear a suit. I just wore my regular clothes. I had my Bible in my hand. I had it behind my back like this, standing there. So they had a side room. I came in the side room, and I stood there. And there was a couple people, and they were on their cell phones. And I hope if you're in church, I'm going to say something this morning. If you're sitting in church, you shouldn't be on your cell phone texting people. If you are, you just, my Lord. Why you come to church and just sit there and play on your cell phone? Some people are so addicted to that thing, they can't leave it alone. They can't leave it alone for 10 seconds. And so these kids were on their cell phone, and there was a teenage, this boy is 20 years old, got killed. He was just left a Christmas party, drunk, got an accident, and killed him, got killed. And Gary's preaching, he's preaching the gospel, and he didn't see me. I'm standing there and listening to him, and I'm going, amen, amen. And this girl was sitting up on about third or fourth row. She's about 17, 18, 19, 20 years old, somewhere in there. And she's going, man, I can't believe it. And she looks around at all the men, all the young guys sitting behind her, three rows. She said, why don't somebody take him out? Somebody take him out. Wanted to take the preacher out from telling the truth. And she goes, blankety blank. And she said a few other words. She was loud enough everybody could hear. And she looked, and then she said, I can't believe he's doing this at a funeral. When else do you preach the gospel? Amen. And then she looked up at me. I'm staring at her. And I got my Bible in my hand. Then I lifted my Bible up like this. And then she turned back around and looked straight forward. So I went to Gary right as the undertaker came out. I went up to the front and let him know I was with Gary. And I sat down next to him. I said, brother, you got any tracts on you? Church name. I said, I don't want to give out Faith Baptist Church tracts. I want to give out yours. He goes, brother, I forgot. Man, I got some. So I said, I'm going to stand at the door. So the girl come out, and she saw me. We met eyeball to eyeball. I was standing there going like this, giving out people, you know, tracts to people. And I always try to take somebody with me to a funeral and give out tracts. I always try to take somebody, and one or two people at least, to go and pass out tracts. Or if I'm preaching a funeral, when the undertaker gets up there, I run to the back, and I pass out tracts. And so I stood at the door, and she walked by me, and she looked at me, and I said, here, give you something to read, tell you about Jesus. Amen. And she pretended like she was going to take it, and she just let it drop to the floor. I went like this, wait a minute. I picked it up. I stuffed it in her pocket. And nobody refused one. But its generation has gotten harder. It's because they're unthankful. And when you get unthankful, look out, man. Look out. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Think they're smart, and God said, you're a bunch of fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image like on the corruptible man, and the birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. You got to be demented to get down in front of a statue, where millions of people do it, and think the statue is going to help you. Praying to a bird, praying to a Buddha, or whatever it might be, praying to something that's a stone, and that doesn't hear. And people, you know, they think that they'll go give a sacrifice to a god of their choosing, and then they think they're going to win $1 million. They go down and play the lottery or something. And it's strange how people think. And I know this. If our Father in heaven knows, he knows what's best for us. I know he knows it, but he's in control, and he cares. And I'm going to tell you something. Those same people, I'm not hard again. I don't hate them. No way. I love them. I want to see people say, God's waiting for them to cry out to him. He's waiting. Why? People say, why should I cry out to God? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God's already proved his love. I tell people, I told you I was down preaching in front of a bar years ago, and a girl walked by me, and I've told this story a million times here, and a girl walked by me, had a gown on, and I'm standing out there with Samson, and Samson's just a little baby. He's about 3 or 4 years old. He's passing out tracts. And I'm standing out there, and the girl walked by me. She said, I don't want that. And a bunch of women went by, I don't want that. They were half drunk. And I said, and as it got right in the middle of the street, I said, hey, you ain't going to find nobody in there love you like Jesus loves you. Amen. She turned around, walked back up to me, and she staggered. She looked at me in the eye. She goes, what'd you say? I said, you ain't going to find no man in there love you like Jesus loves you. Right. And she looked down at Samson. She goes, some father, that's your son? I said, yeah, that's my son. She goes, some father you are, making your son be out here in the middle of the night passing out this literature he don't even know nothing about. I said, ma'am, you think you could do a better job raising my son? She goes, I could do a lot better job than you. And I said, really? Look at you, about half drunk. You're going in there trying to find a man you can go home and sleep with, and then tomorrow morning go find somebody else and do all that. And I said, I was pretty harsh. I said it to her. She said, I'll slap your face. I said, I'll slap you right back. But people are funny, man, when it comes to they think they can get over on. And, you know, I was the same way if I was saved. I was a stupid fool. Amen. And sometimes still a stupid fool, you know. But I asked God to help me. But people pray to all kinds of different gods. They pray, you know, it's like people praying to their dead loved ones. And, you know, before I was saved, my brother got killed. I crawled over the fence at the graveyard, laid in there on his grave drunk, messed up on drugs, and I said, I'm praying to him. I'm praying to my brother, saying, forgive me for stabbing. Forgive me for doing this. Phew. I remember saying all this, but he didn't hear him. God heard. Change the glory of the uncorruptible God in the image like on the corruptible man, and the birds, and the four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. You talking about, brother, you talking about the lust of man's heart. Every man's got it in us. We got it in us. And you got to fight that battle. Because the Bible says all this in the world, lust of the eyes. That's why it's important for ladies to dress right. And I mean, if a man's a lustful man, he's going to lust after women. I don't care what you're dressed in. He's going to lust after you anyway. If you're, you know, but I tell you, but it's important for a woman to dress right so she don't be the one to cause the problem. And God gets on her. You got women look like their pants were painted on them, you know. They got clothes now they can paint on you. And they look like they're painted on them. And they walk around and trying to wear these skinny jeans and all that stuff. It's pretty bad when you got to get in jeans like this. That's pretty bad. When you got to get in pants, you got to run in place. Men too, yeah. That's pretty bad. I was at Bob Schellheimer's son, grandson's funeral, and I didn't know I was going to preach there. I got up, and there was a guy there. You could tell he was effeminate. And the guy stood in front of the casket crying the whole time. He had real tight jeans on and everything, and he stood there, and I thought it was really, I heard him crying. I thought it was a woman crying. And Josh leaned over and said, "That's a guy." I said, "That's a guy." And you know what happens? When a man rejects God, everything gets confused. That's why you got, you know, bisexual, you got all this stuff, man, where they saying, okay, if you feel like a woman today, go in the ladies' bathroom. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. If you feel like a man today, you ladies can walk, and men probably wouldn't mind a woman coming to the bathroom. They probably would say, yeah, come on in. They wouldn't mind. But a man going in a woman's bathroom? Good. Man. It says, who changed the truth of God through lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, worshiping and serving the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And then it says, for this cause, God gave them up on the vile affections. And for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. So you always see, you know, the women that are lesbians. You see them. There's always a woman that tries to look like a man. And they hate men, but they're trying to look like a man. Isn't that crazy? They shave their head. They get a flat top, and they put, you know, mom on their arm tattoo. And they walk around and they try to act like they're a man. Yeah. They look. Somebody comes in there. He said, well, it's just unnatural. God gave a woman a special place to be a good mother and to raise children, and care for her husband. That's not saying putting women in bondage. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, man, God gave women a special place, and men, some, you know, just like what's his name, Jenner's. God, how would you like to be going out with a guy like, or a thing like that, and then be kissing on him, and then find out, you know, his name was something else, a man. Bruce. And you're sitting there holding hands with him and kissing him and everything, and all of a sudden he says, you know, in my former way, I was a man. No, you don't want to. But see, what it is, you got to do away with God, the Bible, everything, to try to justify everything to make it right. You got to get rid of God. You got to get rid of the Bible. You say, well, that's judging. You're just being hateful. No, I'm not. No, I don't say shoot them or kill them or anything. They need to get saved. They need to hear about Jesus Christ and love them. I know some preachers. I told you, I know some preachers that their kids have gone bad and went that way. Homosexuals. So what does it do? It breaks my heart, man. See, the devil's right there to destroy anything good. Anything good, he says, is bad. Anything bad, he says, is good. And what I pray for these kids around the church, I pray for all the kids, God protect them. Don't let them get confused, because God is not the author of confusion. And what happens is they go to school and they tell them, if you feel like this, then you might be that. They confuse them. The Bible can straighten all that mess out. Likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of a woman, burning their lust one towards another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. Before, when AIDS came out, they used to call it, they called it GRIT. GRIT. And it was, it meant gay related. And they said, we can't do that, because then people will start trying to shoot them or something. It's like a infection. So they made it AIDS. And then, you know, women caught it and all that stuff. And all these diseases come from sexual perversion. Yep. Yep. And then little innocent children suffer for it. Yep. People say, why has a child got to suffer for it? Well, because it goes back to the family. Children suffer for the sins of their family. And that's why, it's like I said, it's important to do right. And you got this temptation of feeling sorry for yourself. I deserve better. It ought to be, you know, I ought to have this, I ought to have that. It's always that temptation. And everybody goes through it. And you just got to fight that thing. You say, God, help me be thankful. And God said, when they become unthankful, this is what happens. They start getting perverted. You know, Earl Flynn had any woman he wanted. Rock Hudson had any woman he wanted. I mean, these guys had any women they wanted. They were like just throwing themselves at them. And Earl Flynn could not be satisfied with a woman. He find younger women. Then the Bible, not the Bible, but then I found out he was messing with animals. He started messing with animals, perverted. Rock Hudson had any woman he wanted. He kept getting married to different women, but then they said something strange about this guy. He wanted Gomer Pyle. That's who he wanted. He ended up with Gomer Pyle. Yeah, golly. And but that shows you how perversion progresses. And I've had so many people get mad at me. Man, they got so mad at me. And they've walked out of the services here. They've gotten mad and walked out. And I said, God never intended for Adam and Steve. It was always Adam and Eve. And I do that at weddings and stuff, and they get mad. And you know why they get mad? Because what they think that, you know, we're out of touch. Yeah, we're living in the dark ages. They say, you need to catch up with the times. No, it was perverted back in Noah's day. It was perverted back in Lot's day. And in perversion, the devil's right there. I'll be glad one day to see the devil get cast in the lake of fire, brother.
Amen.
It says, look at this. It says, likewise, also men leaving the natural use of the woman, burning the lust one towards another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Reprobate, the Calvinists say reprobate is somebody can't get saved. No, reprobate is just something that it means God gives you, put you on probation, and he's going to give you another chance. So a person can have another chance if they've been, I'm going to tell you something, man, I was like a wild animal before I got saved. I went after any women, you know, I was going after young women, all that stuff, I didn't care. Just like a wild animal. After I got saved, Linda and I got married at 19 years old. John was at my wedding. And we made up our mind we was going to live for God. We was 19 years old. We made up our mind we was going to live for God. And I told her, I said, I'm going to live for God. She said, I'm going to live for God. I didn't even own a suit. We got pictures of us standing out in front of the church. The pastor had a lot of mercy on me. And he had a lot of mercy on me. He helped me so much. He'd go to court with me. He'd go to court with the guys, the gang of guys. He'd go to court with us. And I always scared him. I always made him nervous. But he was a good man, and he married Linda and I. It was just Linda's dad, her mom, my dad, and my mom, John, a couple other people was there. And we didn't have nothing. And we got married. We decided we were going to do right, and we'd stand up there as proud as we could be. I started getting my hair cut little by little. I had hair down here. Little by little, started getting it cut. And the Lord had to work on me. And when God works on you, God starts changing you. A lot of times we expect somebody to get saved, get changed like that. That don't happen. It takes time. Mark Neath started coming to church here. Mark had a ponytail all the way down his back and down right to the head tied. And Mark, I didn't say nothing to him about his ponytail. And Mark had that ponytail. One day he come in and he handed me the ponytail. Rachel said, boy, you got pretty hair. I like to have that pony. So he handed Rachel the ponytail. I said, ooh, what would you want there? Anyway, I don't know why I told you that, but look at verse 28. And even when they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despisers, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, but not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them to do them. That's why people like to watch videos of somebody else doing something wicked. And it says they take pleasure in that. That's why the movies got to always have a bedroom scene in it. They've got to have a bedroom scene. They got to have some kind of stuff going on. They always got to have the F word in there. They got to have the cussing. They got to, you know, back in the day, I liked to watch the movies that was in the 50s. And they insinuated towards stuff like that. But you didn't see it. And you have to be, you know, listening real careful to catch it. But the old time movies, they would, you know, it was clean, but they were still, out in Hollywood was a mess. And somewhat clean, I should say, somewhat clean. Therefore, look what it says in chapter 2. Look what it says. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man. All this stuff Paul went through, he said, the seven stages that the Gentile world apostasy went into and all this stuff. And God says, then he says, therefore thou art inexcusable, man, whosoever thou art that judges. For wherein thou judges another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same thing. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them that do such things and doeth the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? A lot of times we look at other people, we're always saying, they're worse than I am. We're always judging things. Oh, there, look how bad they are, but I ain't that bad. We always try to say that, try to justify what we're doing. And if they're thinking out, oh man, he said that judges that which is such things, doeth the same. Verse 3 says, thou shalt escape the judgment of God, or despise thou the riches of this of his goodness, the forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And you think about it. I told that guy this morning. I said, you know, God's been merciful and good to you. He said, how do you know that? I said, you're still breathing, ain't you? You're not in hell where we deserve to be. And that's where we all deserve to be in hell with our back broken and eyes scratched by his mercy of God. He says, or despise thou the riches of his goodness? I don't despise the riches of his goodness. I want to thank him for it. I want to thank him for all that he's been good to me. And, man, I look back at where I came from and what he's done for me. My Lord, I know what I deserve. And then what happens is people, when they get to the place, they think they deserve better. They think, why? God didn't treat me right. God didn't do me right. Or I'm going to tell God something when I get there. You know what the Lord will do? He'll show you your life. He'll show you how merciful, how many times he watched over you, protected you. And then he'll show you what hell's like. I believe that. I believe he's going to show us. And we're not going to hell if you're saved. You're not going to hell. But he'll show you what it was like and what it's like. And you think about people dying, dropping dead every day, going to hell. And they don't have to. That's the thing. That's what's the crazy thing about it. People don't have to die and go to hell.
That's right.
They don't have to.
Yeah.
God paid ultimate price.
Amen.
So his creation wouldn't have to die and go to hell. His son went to hell, paid the sin debt.
Yeah.
He paid the ultimate price.
Yeah.
And man still says, gives God the middle finger and tells him where to go. They tell God, get off my back. Get out of my face. You don't love me. When the truth be known, God's the only one that really loves him. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness? 2017, don't despise the riches of his goodness. Look around and say, Lord, you've been good. I mean, I was watching, you know, these commercials come on TV. I'm watching Fox News. These commercials come on, these little kids up at Shriners Hospital and at St. Jude's and all the form and little. And they said, God, have mercy on them babies. Touch them, Lord. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would save them. I'm sitting there praying at the commercial. Lord, save them kids. When they come to be able to understand. I've run into a lot of people that's in wheelchairs, and they're bitter. Bitter at God. But then I've run into people in wheelchairs. I've seen them out there on the streets, passing out tracts, telling people how good God is.
Amen.
God is good. He's been good. And when a person can be thankful, and they can thank God for everything, just thank you, Lord, for being so good to me. I was praying this morning. I said, I pray before I go to bed at night. I said, God, watch over my children and the grandchildren. Don't let the house burn down in the middle of the night. We've had our house burn up in the middle of the night. God, protect them. Put the fear of God in them. Give them a tender heart. And I pray for that for the families of the church. Put the fear of God in them. Give them a tender heart. Watch over each family. Help their families come to know Jesus Christ. Help the kids to love you. And boy, I tell you what, Things will go a lot better when you put God first and love him. You know, I think it was Job said, he said, though I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If God's who he says he is and he knows everything and he's already proved his love, I'm going to tell you, he knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through. I pray this too. I said, God, help me to get to somebody that's ready to kill themselves or somebody that's ready to quit. Help me to get to them before they do something stupid. That's what bothers us about my wife's dad. He shot himself. Shot and killed himself. 92 years old. We had no idea that he was going to do that. We had no idea. And she'll sit there and cry at night and say, maybe we should have went. Maybe we should have done this. I said, we can't beat ourselves up about now. And I said, he's saved. He got saved. At least he said he was. I said, we can trust the Lord. We can trust God. All right, we're going to stop right there. Amen. Father, thank you, God, tonight, this morning, Father, for your mercy. Thank you for the Sunday school hour. God, I pray you bless the morning service. Give my brother a power to preach. And I pray, God, there'll be somebody here that's not saved today would be the day. I pray you save that soul near as hell. Help us, Lord, watch over our families, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. God, protect them. Put the fear of God in. Give them a tender heart. Help them to love you and protect them, Lord. My heart goes out for all the families and the children. I pray, God, please protect them. In Jesus' name, amen.